welcome to 105 The Ticket's video game podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Henry Bell, and with me today is Tom Schreier and Ben Humbert. Today we're going to discuss whether people should be able to letter in video games, companies censoring things to prevent controversy, and the great Splatoon caper. But we're going to get things started with the FIFA corruption and how it affects video games.
I think I'll explain this real quick just because obviously I'm into sports. I don't know it as well because I'm, you know, not a huge soccer guy. I'm kind of learning right now.
Yeah, sure.
But I think we all kind of know what, you know, essentially crime, like high-scale crime is. This is people building a stadium in Qatar who are brought in because Qatar is a very small but very wealthy country. Mm-hmm. They're bringing people in from very, very poor countries, putting them in really terrible conditions. They actually had to... the big controversy here, and I think why the U.S. got into it, is because they gave, you know, this small country a, you know, the World Cup, and it's 140 degrees in the summer. And these are the working conditions of these people. The death toll is, like, mind-blowing. The Washington Post had a feature on this. Just looking at the stats, I mean, they're, you know, unfortunately, there are deaths involved with building large, very tall stadiums, but this is usually two or three people. This is getting into, they think, thousands, you know.
Oh my gosh.
So obviously this is bigger than video games. Certainly there's no reason to build a stadium, especially because these aren't very well used. Afterwards.
The Sochi stadium from the Olympics is like already looking derelict.
I was gonna say it's already trashed.
And and Russia's getting the, you know, the World Cup before Qatar. So this is obviously a terrible something you don't want to be associated with. And at the same time, ONS Good had a story on, you know, on Polygon saying, you know, they should drop FIFA. My question is, what does, and maybe he made this more clear than maybe I interpreted or whatever, but what does that mean? I remember when, you know, I don't know if you guys had N64, but when Madden 64 came out, they didn't have the NFL license. So you had, instead of being the New England Patriots, they were Foxborough.
Right. I remember that. That was great. And we still play that game to some extent, right? That's why we have Football Manager and we have Madden NFL, because Madden does have NFL support, correct?
They've had it since Madden 99.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorry, you'll have to forgive me. Sports games are not my forte. Yeah. But, my point being, this is an ongoing thing still. I mean, we still have games like, you know, Football Manager versus FIFA versus PES and all these different Pro Evolution Soccer, all these different permutations of soccer, and not all of them are licensed the same.
Yeah, and so I understand why you have to be careful, I think, with your own brand if you're EA Sports. You want to be associated with things that obviously are positive, and this is any, you know, advertiser or any company. But don't see this happening. FIFA is, and I'll talk about this a little bit as a video game. Like, I got into it in college. You know, I was out in California, a lot of soccer fans.
Yeah.
It was almost a trade-off where I brought NHL, and that's how people got into hockey. I remember people actually, you know, playing the game, and then depending on where they were from, they'd go to watch the Sharks, either to watch the opponent or watch the home team.
Now, I have a question here.
Yeah.
As someone who's completely ignorant, what are, like, There's a ton of similarities between those, right? I would presume
Games.
Yes, a soccer game and a hockey game, or are they significantly different from each other? Like,
you can go ahead.
Aside from the fact, obviously, they're playing different sports, they look similar, play similarly.
I would assume the mechanics are even similar.
Yeah, they do have a very similar feel throughout the whole bridge. Like, the 2K games are the best example of that similarity because it's all under the 2K platform.
Gotcha.
But even going into different developers and whatnot, it is very cut and dry. I suck at sports games. I always have. I've never been on the winning team or anything like that. But every game that I've played through Madden or FIFA, now I've just started playing FIFA 14 with friends. It doesn't seem like it's updated that much. I know they put patches in to make some of the
new rosters and better players.
I don't know about. I think I might have to call you on the new graphics too, because that game looks 5 to 6 years old.
They're bad. Madden takes a while to, especially because that's a moneymaker. A lot of people play Madden, but
is it in a similar boat?
Hockey plays more similar to soccer, but
what I mean is in terms of the graphics.
Madden's bad.
I ask because I wonder if it has to do with the number of players on there, because the basketball games are looking better and better, and they probably have the fewest players that are being animated at a time.
And even hockey, I mean, it's a manageable, it's probably 23 people on the roster, plus they get in detail. They have minor leagues, and I remember a kid from White Bear who I used to work, I didn't work out with him, but he worked out at the same gym. I played as him in his European league, and they were that, like, specific with the rosters, and it looked kind of like him. So they do a good job with that. Madden just, I think they've taken a shortcut because you have, you know, all these players on the team, 60 if you include the practice squad, 53 otherwise.
Right.
And they're wearing their helmets. You know, it's like if you played Blitz without helmets, it looked weird. You know, yeah. Like it was the same guy kind of, yeah.
Sure, sure. Everybody has two body types.
Yeah, the Blitz was so good. I loved Blitz.
I love making that was the super the fat games. Guys and just beating the crap out of people after plays have ended.
There's a great story on Vice Sports, and it's written by Aaron Gordon, who's a great, great sports writer, and he looked into how this game got made. I mean, and this is... I don't know how this ties to FIFA other than that it was kind of ridiculous that they made a game that originally had blood. Originally, like, if you got hit.
That's awesome.
They took that out, but it was kind of the NFL was too far deep into it.
Sure.
And I guess to tie this back in, you know, well, if you're going to take the FIFA way, you know, name away, and I realize FIFA, ironically, is actually 10 times worse than the NFL, but the NFL obviously has this Ray McDonald case where he's picked up, and then he has a second... basically assaulted a woman again, I think. And, you know, you have Ray Rice, Peterson, you have all these guys. Beyond that, just kind of a sport that hid the fact that concussions will kill you, you know, if you have too many of them. Sure. So,
and yeah, exactly. Because FIFA owns a bunch of questionable property, owns a bunch of properties that are under fire right now. Sports properties where the sport is under fire. I mean, they own, you know, basically all of the sports, but they have essentially a monopoly on most of the sports games.
The only one that's better is like NBA Live didn't do well. It's NBA 2K is what people play.
But I mean, where is the outrage at? Why aren't we trying to cancel the next football game? I mean,
no.
A plenty active, you know, shall we say, social concern this year in football.
Sure.
Yeah.
To be fair, I guess the new Viking Stadium isn't built by people who are imported and, you know, in miserable conditions.
But I mean, I don't have to say, you know, the stuff that Adrian Peterson says, you know, on a given day
his Twitter rant today.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying is like that technically using the same argument that's being used, you know, in this article saying that EA shouldn't have FIFA, You could make that same argument.
It won't happen. I don't agree with it. I know where this guy's coming from.
I disagree, because here's my question. What do you call it if not FIFA? What is the identifiable...
FIFA's different.
I mean, again, forgive my ignorance, because this is really going to show how bad I am. What is the name of the national soccer? Is it the NSL?
The one here, MLS...
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, and the MLS, that's where, so like the team here, Minnesota United, which Nick Hallett covers for us, is NASL, and that would be like a tier two league.
Okay.
And then American Soccer League.
Do you know what that
league.
Means to me? North American StarCraft League.
That's really funny that that's the same thing.
Yeah. And I'm,
that one's probably more prominent. Right,
yep. Well, it gets more viewership, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I think the, no insults to our favorite Minnesota United team, but MLS is even among soccer people, it's just the clubs overseas, first of all, are very well supported here. Man U, Man City, Chelsea, stuff like that. Playable in the game, obviously. Not only that, but like, you know, NBC Sports covers that very well. That's probably their biggest property, that in the NHL. Yeah. So, you know, they do Formula One racing and stuff, but people, you know, even me, and I'm not a huge soccer guy, I'm just trying to learn it. Like, I'll wake up and I'll kind of be groggy, you know, Saturday morning. I'll flip on the, NBC Sportsnet, watch a game overseas, just because they're so well supported. You know, you obviously see the fan base and stuff. And like I said, you can't lose that. You have to have AC Milan and you have to have Arsenal. Right. You have to have all that stuff in the game. That's what makes FIFA FIFA.
It definitely poses a really difficult question, because it's kind of along the lines of, well, just like Henry was saying earlier, why isn't this being, you know, reflected across all of the medians when 2K and certain developers own basically the rights to every sport? I mean, you have the laundry list of people for the NFL, like you were saying earlier. But the reason that I feel like this is such a big issue, besides the labor deaths for the stadium, was also that the charges against the whole corporation the whole people at FIFA was that it was like...
Mafia?
Yeah, gangsters.
No, this
stuff.
Is
like, it was
this
really
is
hardcore.
Stuff, this is Russia and Qatar bribing to get the World Cup.
Yeah. It goes beyond that too, doesn't it? Because I mean, it was there's wider spread corruption within the FIFA officials.
Yes, it has affected people here in the NASL.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think I understand why that's not a great brand right now. To be fair, the NFL is not. The other thing to be clear is FIFA is different from the NFL. The NFL is a league. FIFA, and again, this is getting very technical and kind of very sporty, but like it would be the IIHF, which would be the International Ice Hockey Federation, would be the equivalent to hockey. Okay. And so really, like NHL 15 or whatever should be IIHF.
Sure, sure.
Because you can play as international teams.
Therein lies the rub. That's what I'm getting at. Is like,
but MLS is not a big enough brand to put on your video
game
cover.
Exactly. So what do you do? Pro Evolution Soccer got away with it, I guess.
Does it have, the teams like AC Milan and Chelsea?
You're the wrong guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just know it's one of the more popular other soccer
alternatives. Yes, yeah, I know that.
But my point being, what kind of a name is that? I mean, PES, to me, what does it have to do with fish or something?
I think we're going to keep it, and I think...
They will, and we've already seen the beginnings of the deflection. Pardon me, I'm sure that this was well thought out ahead of time and this was totally altruistic and it's a total coincidence, but, a day or two after all of this breaks, now we're suddenly get the announcement about the all-female team roster being added in the next version of FIFA, which I look at as a bit of a social deflection.
Yeah, they're trying to show something new and shiny in front of your
face. Yeah, let's touch on that real quick. I was going to say, there is a risk always associating with a huge name, kind of like an NFL, NHL, whatever. I look at it this way. Like, the Twins are very well-run organization, but they have Chuck Knobloch, was a Twin, and is not in the Hall of Fame because he beat his wife or was in an incident like that. I mean,
Well, but here's the thing. You don't tell the Twins you have to fire him. You stop going to Twins games.
Yes.
Don't tell EA they must change the game names. Just if you don't support FIFA, don't buy games that say FIFA.
And it's the scary thing about that in the World Cup, and like I said, I don't want to get too into this just because it's a video game podcast, but the World Cup, you could have people in... I mean, I think the U.S. has just gotten into that. I'm trying to think, maybe 2010 or 8 or something like that was kind of the big one where the U.S. really got behind it.
Yeah.
But you could have people from the U.S. ignore it and the bars turn off the game. You're not going to affect the World Cup because it is the World Cup and it is the most popular sport in the entire world. And it's really hard because the U.S. is trying to monitor something that is at the global stage.
Yes.
And I think... At a certain point, you have to take kind of – I think
separate EA from FIFA is the key thing. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but –
No, go
it's,
ahead.
It's I don't understand why people are – FIFA does not own Electronic Arts. It's simply – this is just a brand deal. Do you – like if you see Coca-Cola with a Master Chief logo on it and the Master Chief collection isn't working, do you write letters to Coca-Cola?
That'd be so funny.
That was a really good
This is your fault. There, this online is not working.
I guess it would be Mountain Dew, but still.
Yeah. I know, and I agree, and I think at the end of the day, it's a business decision, and they have to weigh, okay, this is a recognizable brand. People associate FIFA with soccer, obviously. And I think if I'm EA, I go, and I don't think they'd ever come out publicly, but if we're in a boardroom here, we'd go, you know what? People know what FIFA is, and this is a bigger battle than we can fight.
If I was the consultant they called in and they asked me, you have to choose, one or zero. Are we going to keep the name? Or are we going to change it? I would say keep the name. I'm sure that the lost revenue in building a new brand would hugely outstrip the number of people who actually care enough to protest.
And this is a seller. I mean, my guess is they make money off of this one. I don't know about NHL, but Madden and FIFA,
You know, the truth about a lot of these sports stories, whether they're good or bad, they drive up viewership.
And I was just going to say, as bad as it might be, given the light of the recent events over there in Qatar, I was just going to say one of the things that, as a satire they could add for games, is, you can go and bribe
That needs to be in the next Football Manager, because that game is actually about building a team and joining a league and stuff. That would be wonderful.
That'd be a great
slap. I want it to be like the next Mafia game.
Yeah.
Mafia 3 FIFA.
There's something hilarious I saw actually. Steve McPherson, who's a writer here, brilliant basketball writer and does music, like he writes for Rolling Stone and stuff like that.
Okay.
Had a on Twitter, he had FIFA 16 and it was the Grand Theft Auto the cover with Michael on it, and he's going through the money. And I think, that'd be a game that as much, and again, I don't want to open up a whole nother can of worms with Grand Theft Auto, but that's something they do well, is they probably, I'm sure, are shameless enough to make a reference to, hey, we're building a stadium in, you know, Los Santos or whatever. Right. And hey, I wonder where, you know, who's building it. And, yeah, and
they're wonderful for their tongue-in-cheek parodies.
Yes. And like I said, I think in terms of the attention thing, listen, like, it's not a bad thing. People are really investing in this, because the more media saturation you get, not only are people aware that this is happening.
Yeah, I'm a gamer and I knew about this immediately. Yep. Sorry, continue.
No, and so it's more, it's world news at the end of the day. And not only that, but I think people will dive in and do like personal interest stories, and it is incredibly sad. I've read stuff to read about how these people die and they literally ship them back in a box to the people who they are supporting, who are meagerly paid. Jesus. I mean, you know, and I think hopefully media will handle this well, that, and again, this is getting beyond video games, but like, we'll handle it well to say, you know what, look, I know this is a large amount of people, but this is an individual person, a worker, a very hardworking person who's just trying to kind of make ends meet. So I think, it, you know, where it comes back to the FIFA brand or whatever, it's tarnished. And I think, again, EA just has to say people have to make that decision for themselves. But at the end of the day, FIFA is soccer. We have, you know, international teams here, and MLS is not a big enough brand for us to put. Trust me, if MLS was on the level of even NHL, it would be called, you know, MLS.
Yes, they would have kept it.
And I think the big thing to highlight, if you're the kind of person who buys the FIFA games, then you're probably the kind of person who watches the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you really care about this, then don't play the game, don't watch the World Cup. If you want to make a difference, vote with your wallet, because they're not going to listen to a bunch of a vocal minority. They need to see sales drop, or else nothing's going to change.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing I'd say too is, if you're someone who really is engaged with this is how I see the NFL in some ways, is that really read into the media and find good writers who are going to tell you informative, like, you know, an E60 piece with Jeremy Shabb, which is ESPN's investigative kind of branch.
Sure.
Yep. You know, watch that stuff and support those people, because I think those people are who's going to make a difference and really apply pressure on a corrupt organization like this, you know, to get us, you know, a Blatter out of his name. Literally, this last name is Blatter, you know, out of there.
Sure.
And make change. So, I mean, that's the way I see it, too. I know people who have boycotted football. I watch it, but I watch it with a very skeptical eye and kind of with an understanding that, hey, people love the game and stuff like this. And the same thing with soccer. It's a beautiful game. Sadly, it's got a reputation, and hopefully this changes, where people are just like, it's corrupt. People bet on it. There's, you know, match fixing, and the officials are terrible, you know, and not all the officials, but there are officials who are terrible people, and that these stadiums are built very rarely used and built by people who should be treated better. So, I don't know. Is there anything else?
I think that's about it. But in a very interesting pivot now, EA has also got some kind of good news on its side this week. They've just announced that FIFA 16 is getting women's international teams. And that's pretty exciting, although I think it's important. It's not being highlighted in a lot of these very positive articles. I think it's very important to note that possibly to avoid controversy, the female teams are only playable essentially in friendly modes and against each other. You cannot play the female teams against male teams.
This goes back to, like, and again, I'm crossing swords here, but Ronda Rousey, for example, they're saying, well, if she can beat all these women, and it's literally she's having 14-second matches, right? Yeah. Which is ridiculous considering these people train, you know, years for their, a year probably, and then they hype it so much, and people are like, damn, I paid for that.
And now, now they're down.
Yeah, and, you know, at least Pacquiao Mayweather lasted, you know, the whole rounds. But I think, you know, people are saying, well, why can't she go fight a guy? And people want her to fight Mayweather, which would not a good idea. No. But
here's the thing, though, as far as FIFA goes. I get that. Sorry, do you want to finish your interview?
Well, I mean, my thought there is just don't take away from the fact that, you know, and this is getting into something more, Mia Hamm and, like, Brandi Chastain, for example, are almost household names. People actually know who these people and Abby Wambach and,
now,
you know,
let's
Alex
not,
Morgan.
Let's also not forget that, you know, and this may not be the most popular opinion, but it's the reality in a lot of cases. We've seen celebrity matches with female and male tennis stars, including the Williams sisters. And the fact is that the female players can't keep up.
Yeah. And
that's not me saying that they're inferior anyway. That's not me saying that they, you know, there's any kind of sexism or bad thing going on there. That's kind of the problem with the realism of these sports games. As they get more realistic, they're literally pulling the actual stats from the players and from the teams. And so if you're using the real stats for the men and the real stats for the women, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. The player input should be the big decider, in my opinion. I think you should have the option to play as a female team against a male team. Just because you can. It's a video game. It's a fantasy. Yeah. Do whatever
well,
you
it's,
want.
It's like it's like you, people. I can't use a soccer analogy, but people would say with baseball, they'd be like, "Let's play like you know the 2010 Twins against the 91
right.
Twins,"
exactly.
And that's never going to happen. I mean, we had like you know my friend was a huge Cardinal fan. He had Stan Musial on a you know modern Cardinals team.
Right.
You know,
or
so.
How about every time I play a sports game and my friends go, "Okay, you pick the best possible team,
yes.
and I'm going to pick the worst, so you have
yep.
any shot here."
Yeah.
So maybe in I mean, and again, I worry because this is very dangerous waters. I don't
yeah.
want to say the wrong thing here. I just want to make it clear. I understand why they did this, but there's something offensive about the fact that we finally got female teams
yeah.
and let's see, what's the exact wording they used? It's right now they're going to be used for the kickoff mode, offline tournament, and online friendly matches. What that means is essentially minigame mode, offline tournament, meaning you can play it in local co-op, which is
yeah.
fairly cool.
Yeah.
That's I'll give them that. Mm-hmm. And then online friendly matches, which are unranked matches,
what
meaning you can't gain, you know, the in-game rankings.
Well, what they should do is they have this ultimate team, which my friend plays, a roommate of mine from college, and he you build up like you almost trade players, almost like you're a GM, right?
Sure.
And I think I could see a way of them creating, you know, Mia Hamm or Brandi Chastain or something like Abby Wambach, and you're inflating the stats because you're creating a level playing field with the guys, obviously, but you're treating them as they're, you know, I think correctly in saying that they are at the top of their profession and it's a video game at the end of the day. Yeah, we know that, you know, Alex Morgan probably
right.
couldn't compete against Chelsea,
well,
but it's kind of fun to see what happens.
Sure.
It's for
I
the
hear
opportunity
you,
to
but
do
at,
it.
But at the same time, wouldn't you agree? I could be wrong again because this
yeah.
isn't my forte, but wouldn't you agree that part of the thing that's so cool about games like, you know, any kind of football or baseball simulation
yeah.
is
yeah.
that I have a lot of friends who build two AI teams. They'll do mock-up fantasy teams and stuff, and they just
yeah.
let them play each other on their own. I've had people predict their picks for the Sweet 16 based on AI plays.
I know people that do that, yep.
I mean, every year there's a fairly famous televised stuff that gets, you know, reported on and stuff. And so I agree with you. I do. But at the same time, I think people are not going to be willing to give up those realistic stats. They love that. That's why we
yeah.
see updates yearly. That's why you buy the new version of the game, because, oh, maybe my favorite player is doing better this year, and I want to see that reflected in the game.
I really think the best way to handle this, first of all, with a more like blitz-type game,
sure.
you definitely could do it. You know what I mean? And no
yeah.
one cares about stats
yeah.
and blitz. The other thing, too, is it's hard to do it with the women's teams because...
Well, and blitz didn't use real players, did it?
No, well, it did. It had the names.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cordell Stewart was in it
okay,
and stuff
okay.
like that. No, I think the hard thing is, like, how do you level out? I'm talking on a player level, I guess. You could probably do it with select very well-known. Again, people, I think, know who Alex Morgan and Abby Wambach are. But,
yeah.
You know, I think, and I'm trying to think Solo, the goaltender, but I think it'd be hard. Well, if you make the women's teams as good as like Chelsea, let's say, well, then they're significantly better than an MLS team, which is completely throwing
right.
it out of whack.
Well, and well, what I would think would be kind of funny, and I know you're gonna hate on me for this,
go
but
ahead.
I would love to see some of the really good women's teams play some of the American men's teams because
yeah.
they might have a shot at some of those.
They'd have more than a shot.
That,
they
well,
would win.
I'm
a
trying
lot of those
to.
Matches.
I'm trying to guard Tom's ego.
I think the way I see that, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of in my mind. The comparison would be like you guys know how good Kentucky was, right?
Sure.
I mean, that was they had a platoon system with NBA caliber players. The you know the Timberwolves will be looking probably to pick up one of their guys, but Kentucky's team wouldn't even compete against the Wolves, even though a 16 win basketball
sure.
team that had a rash of injuries. I think a club team in, I mean, maybe if you stacked all the best women's players against the worst club team in the MLS, maybe, but I don't think so. I mean, you have to think the player who's even one of the worst players on one of those teams was the best player in high school, best player in college, like got through a MLS, you know, broke into the MLS, which is a small league. It's probably about 20 teams. I don't know exactly, but, you know, I don't think. It'd be interesting, again,
well,
why you want to run the simulation.
I was going to say, exactly.
But,
that's another reason that you want those realistic stats, because I would take that bet. I'd put $10 on that, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you're wrong. I think that the women would win.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a reason to do that. And even if it's just kind of a miracle on ice situation where
well,
it's
sure.
like, hey, U.S. won, you know? Yeah, I mean, again, sports are about that. It's, you know, it's about, in hockey, it's all about Mystery Alaska and stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, and I would hope that these games aren't strictly determined by the stats. I would hope that the player's skill is relevant in the
yeah.
outcome of the game. Because,
yeah.
like, if player skill is really, really relevant, relevant, then play whatever team you want, because if you're really good at the game, you should be able to beat anybody.
No, I could do that. I mean, in NHL, I used to play my friends when they started out. I wasn't going to play as, like, the Blackhawks
right.
or something like that.
Similar to the situation
yeah,
I was talking about.
I played as the Florida Panthers, and I was like, yeah, you can play as, you know, the Capitals or whatever, and I can still beat you. But
yeah, and take it on.
But... yeah, it's I mean, the stats do matter, and I think they should just to make it a simulation, but you're right. I mean, I don't know how exactly I feel on that, but I think they...
Because that is the whole point of sports games is simulation.
Yes, and it's... I think you maybe start with saying women, you know, only women's teams in the beginning, and then if there's demand for it, you almost kind of meet the consumer's demand and say, hey, at the end of the day, we listen to
sure.
the that, people.
And I'm sure it. With the current state of how, you know, the current discussion, and I don't want to get too far into it, but the current discussion with women's representation in gaming, I think that this will... get pushed. I think that they will be pushed to
I
open
think
this.
The WNBA will be present in the next NBA games.
And,
I would not
and
be
that's
shocked.
An exciting thing to see is because the transition from that, it doesn't make sense why it took this long, but it's nice that developers are looking at that because, like, the whole Unity thing is what my mind keeps jumping back to is the fact that they wouldn't render female characters because
yeah.
it took too long. It's like, if it comes out and it does successful, then you can branch something with it, but don't limit it before
yeah.
it even goes out because that kind of takes it away. But with this, it makes a lot of sense because, again, you don't want to just release a full women's soccer
right.
game without the ability to predict whether or not it's going to do as well as the male teams.
Well, and speaking of Unity, one thing that I think is really important, again, to give more kudos to EA, they also added new body types, hair movement,
yeah,
and new animations for the women, which is really, really, I think, important. A, because I hate it when they cheap out and everyone looks the same.
Yeah.
As a bigger dude, I can't stand always being ripped in RPGs.
Yeah.
But on top of that, you know, I'm really glad that they're going to accurately represent people because this is going to be that would be a sticking point, I'm sure. The first thing that I was asked when I was chatting with somebody earlier today at work about this topic, and their first question was, "Well, do they have giant boobs?"
Yeah,
and I was really happy that I was able to say, "Gaming, you know, as far as representing real life people, gaming doesn't really do that anymore."
No.
Yeah, and it's gotten better. I mean,
it's still an issue in some games, like you know,
but
you can argue
blatantly
that you know,
obvious
well, and then there's also that's a whole discussion. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of sex positive
yeah.
versus not and different types of feminism. But
I think that's a whole podcast. What I'd I mean,
and a
honest.
Podcast that none of us are qualified to lead.
Yeah.
I think unless we can get some estrogen in here.
We
I,
can
I'm
get Anita,
sure,
Anita Sarkeesian.
If you guys think that we're sexist, just send all your hate mail to Henry and,
yeah.
he'll take care
that's
of it.
Or Max because he's
yeah,
not here.
Yeah, we'll send it all to Max.
Or Kyle who's been
Kyle.
On one show.
If you hated how Kyle talked about Call of Duty the last segment and you think that we're sexist, go ahead and send all your stuff to Kyle.
I mean, here's the thing, and I think simply put, the best thing for video games is to be accessible to as many people as possible, and that meaning that you're going to have different audiences for Call of Duty or Disney Infinity or FIFA
right.
or
yep.
whatever. And I think they've done that well, and that's what when we talked about this when we did our podcast alone. Like, it's gone mainstream where you really, I think, are misinformed to say, well, you're a gamer and you're that different than you would. You know, I understand in the mid-90s why you would say that, but right now everyone kind of is in some
yeah.
capacity.
Yeah. Whether or not you realize it, you're a gamer.
And I think companies have gotten smarter. Even I go to, like, I love Tomb Raider, and Lara Croft, like, looks proportional. You know what I mean? Like, obviously the makers are sexy.
In the new ones.
Yes, in the new ones. That's what
clear,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they figured out, well, let's, you know, first of all, not every guy wants to play, you know, balloon boobs, Lara Croft. And beyond that, just why not open up to a female audience and why not have a likable character? And
well, and I think what it really comes to is that video games as a medium, as a storytelling medium, are really maturing. You can't
yes.
tell the story. That story in the new Tomb Raider, the reboot, is good. I mean, it's
yeah.
solid, and it's intense, and it's very movie-like, honestly. And you couldn't do that with the old.
Yes.
I mean, they had to completely reboot everything from the breast size to the, you know, the
even
way
she's
the combat
she looks
works.
Human. Well, and she looks more human. She had very like dynamic facial
yeah,
features.
Exactly. I mean, it was very cool. They made it realistic. And
she's
it
very likable too. I mean, I
yeah.
think at the end of the day, it's hard to come away and be like, you know, we talk about how many games now, and a lot of them I say, if you're gonna have like a Hawk for Dragon Age, just allow people to create their own character. Don't have these kind of generic, even Jensen and like Deus or Deus Ex.
I agree and I disagree. I don't always want that responsibility. Like, I'll argue to the end of the earth that playing as either Shepard or FemShep in Mass Effect, and just like I love the character. I think the voice acting and the character is perfect. Yeah. I wouldn't want the Saints Row treatment to that game at all.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
I'd rather have like a character that can be written for rather than always just playing as a pair of pants.
That's fair. Again, I think we're another big can of worms here.
Sure.
I think in my mind, they did well with that I'm talking Tomb Raider and Lara Croft because I think it's kind of vital to that game that she's a likable character and that,
and she's empathetic is the key.
Yes, yes.
You feel bad for her and you relate to her and when she's struggling, you're struggling and
it's about survival.
Exactly. And it's not about, oh, this is a game with breasts in it that my parents will let me buy. That's a nice improvement.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you guys are all good on that, let's move it along to lettering in video games. Yeah, thoughts, concerns?
We're on a full topic of how kind of sports are inflecting back onto video games.
Yeah,
but it's nice to see that this is an opportunity. I mean, when it started off, I hated the idea of video games being classified as a sport and gamers being classified as athletes.
Sure.
But I like the way that the ball has gotten rolling now.
Sure. Now, remember, lettering is not just for sports. You know, the debate team can get letters.
Yep.
Like, lettering is really any extracurricular activity.
Yeah, I agree. So the genesis of this was that it's called I Lettered in Donkey Kong, and it was an article written under the Hallberg Defense section of 105 The Ticket by League Orwig, and I think... first of all, I think you should be able to letter in it. I think in terms of even the sports thing.
For the record, I did get a letter for being the head of my tech club in high school, which was basically just a LAN party club.
And I got a letter in choir, so
I also got two letters in football, and you tell me if I should have gotten which should have given me letters, which shouldn't have.
In my mind, like I said, I think giving away letters or whatever, I don't think it should be a sports specific thing. I think it's extracurricular and kind of representing that.
Well, and who have you ever seen someone wear a leather jacket? A letter jacket?
Back in my hometown, they're all the rage.
Okay, anywhere that's not any non-tiny population.
We had it actually in high school, and I think part of it was the one jacket you could wear outside. It was a military school, and for some reason you couldn't wear a winter coat.
Well, to be fair, they're probably just like, oh, something that's a uniform that's not incredibly uncomfortable.
Yes. So I think in terms of lettering, I think that's fine. Even in terms of, our video game sports, well, look, that's a broad definition. Some people hold it very sacredly. Look, there's a difference between football and baseball, and there's a difference between poker and stuff that they show on ESPN. Yeah.
Or Olympic sports.
But the question being, is that even relevant to the question of should you be able to letter in games? Because it's not only sports that you letter in. So let's throw that out because it's not the 1920s.
Like, yeah.
And actually back then most of the sports weren't really. Anyways. If you read through the whole article, the real thing he's talking about is actually the scholarships involved.
Yes.
And that's what I most support. That's what I really care about. We've got some schools that are giving scholarships for League of Legends now. I think I've heard of a couple for StarCraft II as well.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about scholarships for video games and how it compares to like scholarships for sports? Because keep in mind, just because you get a scholarship for video games, it doesn't mean you're joining the college esports team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say this. I think colleges can choose how they want to recruit people and how they want to get people on campus. I think colleges are under fire because they're getting more expensive and people are getting lesser paid jobs, honestly. And I also think there's a way to keep people on, 4 or 5 years or whatever it takes. But, I think a lot of people who may be into video games and say, hey, especially if people figure out how to market on TV, because that's where you'd make your money.
Sure.
Yeah.
People may just say, hey, it's the same thing with poker. I remember reading a while back that, U of M kids sitting in the stadium classroom and being like, hey, I just, in class today, I made, $100, $200 playing poker.
Right.
Why am I in school? I'm not a great student.
And that brings up a question that I wanted to ask you guys, because I was just reading today as well an article about he's a pro Hearthstone player who just had his parents basically told him he got into the big annual Hearthstone tournament this year.
Yeah.
And he had to choose not to go because his alternative was essentially not being disowned, but no longer having his parents pay for his school or his rent.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because that is a real concern, just like with college sports, where you're not really able to both focus on your studies and focus on an extracurricular. And in order to do so, it needs to be guided by the school. Like, he was just a Hearthstone streamer, you know. He's not on a school Hearthstone team, so he's not getting any kind of faculty support to help him, you know, do 8 hours of practice every night plus classes and doing all of his homework.
Eventually, I think what these guys are going to have to do is kind of like what baseball does, where they just say, hey, if you want to go professional, you come and we'll, you know, put you in a small town and we'll, you know, hook you up with teammates to live with. And there's a structure in place.
Well, and that is how esports work. They have team houses that you go to and live in it and practice there.
And then I think the schools have to counter. Again, you know, if you want young people on your campus, not everyone's into sports. Everyone has, honestly, the best.
Well, do you feel, though, honestly, that they're, people being into sports is the reason that sports are on campus, or is it the money it generates?
I feel like it's the money. I feel like the hype there is nice to have for people that are coming.
I mean, if you're not going out
for a sport, like say I live in, I don't know. God, I don't. Now I'm going to reveal how I don't know any sports college teams' names. But let's say that I'm going to a school and I'm a student who's not interested in playing college sports. I'm not drawn to a school because of the sports team.
Yeah, and I guess it depends. To be honest with you, I went to Santa Clara in part because the Sharks are nearby and their basketball team looks
good. You're a sports broadcaster.
Yes. No. But what I'm saying is I think there are people who go to, you know, Notre Dame. They pick that over a different school, you know, especially some of these guys have options because you have the sports team. And I think some people, again, you know, if you're in that.
Even with no interest in participating. In
I mean, I think it's because you're participating in the sense that you're going to games and that's like the big social event. Sorry. I'm going to games and I'm part of the, you know.
Because my point is people who aren't you, because you have a career that's based off of this.
No, exactly.
So, like, less anecdotally, what do you think about, like, students who are not interested in any facet of, they're not going to go into sports broadcasting, they're not going to play the sports, they're not, you know, their brother isn't on the team or, you know.
Yeah.
Like, outside of extenuating circumstances or a direct benefit from your interest, do you honestly think that, like, a student who wants to major in biology is going to pick Notre Dame because of the Fighting Irish?
Probably not. No. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe indirectly or something.
I knew a college sports team name.
There you go.
Yeah, good job.
It might go into their decision. You know, it's nice that they have this great biology program and they also have the sports team. You know, I know for me, I went up to University of Minnesota Duluth. I was only there for 9 months, but part of the reason that I chose to go there was because they had, like, the on-campus radio station, and they had a lot of good startups for journalism. But then on the other side, it was like we're so close to North Dakota and Wisconsin, just on that lake area, that there's a lot of sports I could get into. Going through high school, I never went to sports things and only got interested as I went to college. So I feel like it's kind of a difficult thing to say it's just one person goes there for this reason and likes the sports.
Fair. Yeah, it's a complicated
decision. And I'm willing to be the, you know, minority in this situation. I'm much less interested in sports than the average person.
And
so,
I do get
exactly where you're
coming. No. I agree. I guess the where I'm going with this is I think colleges should try to, you know, not just grab one kind of person. Like, they want people with multiple different majors, different interests.
That's true. That's a good point.
An experience where you don't, for example, have to be a big sports nut, but hey, you know what? Watching the basketball team's fun. Or like, you know, to use video games, like, it wouldn't be a terrible thing, again, if you have these kind of pro players that they maybe the main event, I'm kind of structuring this like a fight. The main event would be watching these guys play, right? And people would be like, yeah, you know, I'm using like Mortal Kombat, for example, with the fighting analogy, like, you would see them play and you know how good they are because you know, you're going to the event, you get to play with your buddies, there's a whole bunch of screens or whatever, you know, like, it's a central event.
And also, it's worth noting, these events would be shoutcasted, so you people who aren't don't know what's going on, who aren't playing with their buddies, can still follow it. Find interest.
It's just like,
which I don't feel like is necessarily true for sports, but maybe that's just me. When I listen to a play-by-play of a sports game, I'm not quite as, I don't feel like I'm quite learning as much or like getting as
it's meant for people with a certain level of knowledge.
Or people who are like half blind and need to be told what's happening. Like, I mean, especially games like soccer where they're just shouting out the name of the person who the ball was passed to, I might as well just mute the TV.
And I'm on the reverse side of that, where it's like if I see a League of Legends tournament going on and they're saying, like, you know, use the counter and put in this that, I'm sitting there like, okay, it's a cool move. Like, that's really all that came into my mind. But I feel like
one difference with esports is that you are still trying to sell it to people that it's a strategic game and stuff. Yeah. So they want to make – they're explaining all these – complicated strategies that you don't see on the surface necessarily. You don't understand that somebody, you know, looped around the jungle one extra time to enter into a five-man team fight late so he could use his ultimate and finish, you know, up for a pentakill.
Yeah.
You know, you might not see that by just watching a team fight, but having them pointed out to you, you start to actually learn the strategies. I don't know how true that is with other sports. Would you guys say that you are learning a lot about the sport by listening?
Baseball, you is absolutely like that. You can watch baseball your whole life.
Sure. They have a lot of downtime in baseball.
Yes. And, hockey is pretty straightforward. Football is like that. Football, you know, I'm still learning football, and I, like, played briefly when I was a kid and watched it my whole life.
Yeah.
I think it varies sport to sport. I guess where I'm going with this is if you had a structure like that where kind of the undercard was just students playing each other and it was a way to get together and kind of share an experience, and it was accessible, you didn't have to be that great, you maybe appreciate and understand what's going on with the scholarship people who are doing it.
So what you're saying is we need to make my LAN club that I ran a standard.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
But like I said, I mean, if you're trying to get your 18 to 25 year old or 24 year old, or it would be 18 to 22, I guess, but like kind of that demographic, video games are part of their lives. I mean, why wouldn't you have an event like that? If you get more, you know, again, you're fighting for all these applicants and stuff like that. If you get more applications at the end of the day, why wouldn't you? It's the same thing about putting the stuff on TV. If you're getting ratings and if you're making money, why wouldn't you do it?
There's no reason not to.
If they offered that kind of program, I'll admit, I'll take the other side of the argument from before. If there were schools that offered gaming scholarships and programs and they had college-level esports teams and stuff, I would lean that college.
Look at it this way. What if Iowa State had it and Minnesota didn't? And even if you're from Minnesota, would you consider going to Iowa State instead of something like that?
That's an unfair question because that's Iowa.
I was just going to say, if they had the opportunity, because I know that it's going to become nationwide soon here, but I know that a lot of the branching off for colleges starting this stuff is usually in California and other stuff like that. With some of the developers over there in California, I would be happy to go to college way out there just because it gives me more of an opportunity to reach that. Here in Minnesota, it's a little tougher to reach developers and bigger companies behind video game production and all things like that.
And listen, Ubisoft and stuff, we get behind this and sponsor this because they go, hey, we could pick up even the kids who aren't the scholarship guys.
Right.
Someone knows IT, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And something like that.
And they could also implement the international property because there's a lot of sports, you know, physical sports. I'll put it
differentiation.
In that phrasing, you know, they go across the sea to play in Europe and play other countries to bone up. I think it would be a great opportunity for Ubisoft and France and stuff like that to bring players over.
What kid who loves video games would be like, I don't want to go to a school in San Diego because it's far away. And you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think that's right on.
So I just wanted to bring up a quick point with this article. They were talking in there about the possibility, or not necessarily a possibility, but more about the regulations for these scholarships and how some of the esports players getting these scholarships would be monitored by like a coach of sorts. In which case they would have to, like, you know, keep up with their schooling and keep up with their esports practice going into the competitions and things like that. How do you guys feel about that being monitored?
You know why this is tough? It's because the NCAA doesn't do it well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the NCAA, I think people have figured out, is a way to use kind of the academic, you know, side of things to essentially have a lot of unpaid labor that pays a lot of people, you know, administrators a lot of money. But I think, you know, you'd have to do it similar where you'd say there's a limited amount of time you can spend doing this. You have to maintain a certain grade point average. You know, again, it's going to be the same thing, even if, you know, esports go big, and I think they probably will. Again, it's tied to TV. I think if you make TV money.
I mean, they already are, to be clear, and it's without TV.
I mean, 27 million.
Just insane amounts of money.
Yeah, and like 27 million people play the Heroes of the Storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Blizzard, it's not even, I think it's not even strictly out yet. I think it's still technically it's the open beta right now.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I think next week is when it's actually released.
So if there's money to be made and there's people who are very good at it and you can tell the difference between, you know, even a game like Mortal Kombat, which is less complicated, you can tell who's good and who's not.
Right.
There's going to be people who are going to try to do this professionally. But I think, again, the schools have to realize it's the same thing with athletes, that these guys have to be prepared to do something else. Exactly. And at the same time, you have to be, you know, it's good even for a professional athlete, for example, to be well-rounded. Those tend to be the happiest people, right? So, you know, and obviously there's life after sports, whatever, esports. But I think...
Well, and I feel like, though, you could play well, the statistics don't strictly bear this out, though we haven't really seen enough. We don't really have enough data to say for sure. But you know, I would assume that you could play longer than you can in esports than you can play professional sports. Then again, I'm pretty sure the median pro age is somewhere in the neighborhood of like 17 or 18.
Yeah, they probably have a limiting demographic.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like children who are the best at the game. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say children, teenagers who are the best at the game.
Zach Levine.
It's 16-year-olds or 21-year-olds, you know?
Yeah, and even if you're great, I mean, I think it's kind of the same thing as sports. If you're kind of declining or you have other, again, interests and stuff like that, you may just say, hey, you know, I was a great player. I made a lot of money, but, you know, I'm 33 and I want to go try, you know, do something else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or play this casually. And again, people kind of get burnout, right? I'm sure you're playing the same game over and over again or whatever. Yeah. But I don't get the resistance to this. And maybe it's just like, I'm one of those weird people that loves sports and I also love playing video games and will kind of get on board with something like this.
But I think that when you have an entire genre, I mean, I don't even know what to call it. Like, sports are tribalism.
Yeah, yes.
Period.
Yeah.
It's us versus them by definition.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised at all that we're getting all this flack. This is them saying, whoa, 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 video games, this is our land. Like, you need to back off.
But money walks and talks. And at the end of the day, if video games are making money and people want to do that and pursue that, and again, you can differentiate between who's good and who's not, there's, you know, it's going to happen, I think, you know.
Now, speaking of, you know, broadening appeal of colleges, we're also seeing more and more broadening appeal by companies desperately trying to increase the demographics that will be interested in a game. We've got two interesting little stories here for you guys. First off, Blizzard has censored Tychus Findlay's cigar, his famous or infamous, if you will, cigar, in Heroes of the Storm, and it is to meet the international teen equivalent rating requirements. Thoughts?
I just can't. It's just too funny to see something like this continue to happen, where something gets censored or limited because, oh, we don't want to hurt the feelings of a minority of our listeners or our audience or our customers. And it's like, you know, the people who really honestly like this content are not going to care about age restrictions and things like that. If my parents, who were very, very restricted of me watching The Simpsons growing up and things like that, if they were to get an influence of something like this and say, oh, we don't want you to play a game because there's a cigar in Tychus's mouth, I would buy the game regardless because I enjoy it.
Yeah, although remember, this is not – you know, Blizzard's only market is not North America. Like the UK mm-hmm. – groups like the UK or you look at countries like Australia, they have insanely strict laws for selling mature games to underage kids.
That's true.
Which is funny in Australia because that's basically like kind of California. I mean, it's, you know, like beach culture and stuff.
It's a prison colony and they're limiting things like Grand Theft Auto and hatred. And it doesn't make too much sense on that.
The way I see it is that, I mean, ultimately they're going to make a business decision, but it's kind of like if you guys seen Thank You for Smoking, where the one lady wants to, you know, like censor all this, all the cigarettes and stuff. I mean, these are creative properties. I think what makes Blizzard great is the same thing that makes Nintendo or anything like that. They have great characters. They have, you know, great storylines. I think it compels you to play it.
And on the note of great characters, I mean, maybe this is just my personal like opinion here because I'm really bothered by them taking his cigar.
Mm-hmm.
A, because it's a defining characteristic of him. I mean, he is when they announced StarCraft II, the release trailer was a build up to him stepping out of a capsule, opening up his hood, blowing out a bunch of cigar smoke, and going, "Hell, it's about damn time."
I mean, isn't it?
It is iconic. And here's the thing: this is a self-sacrificing, you know, character who doesn't care about his own well-being. Is supposed to be part of it, and he's, you know, he's the guy who's the meat shield, you know, who stays last and keeps firing. And so, there's symbolism with him. His self-destructive tendencies are being summed up in the cigar, and taking that away, I really do feel maybe I'm clinging to this too hard, but I really do feel that takes away from the character.
It's like Metal Gear Solid, right? I mean, that, you know, Snake always says. Yeah.
If they really want to make it, you know, do what Metal Gear did. If you really want to make a statement, make it so it hurts you, like they did in Metal Gear.
Yeah,
you
know? Which is so
funny. Your health goes down when you smoke. So, fine. But at least I can, because that's part of the character.
Yeah. I don't like it from a creative standpoint. Again, I understand the business side where they say, well, by doing this, I think we'll have more sales. At the same time, you got to be careful with that, too, because, you lose your hardcore fan base.
Right.
So, yeah, you might lose major sales now, because some people, and I don't want to use stubborn in the sense that it's a negative thing, but if it was such a defining characteristic for him and you really missed out on that because they took it away for that teen rating,
right,
you might honestly be inclined not to buy it.
Well, seriously, I mean, because what's the difference between Jim Raynor and Tychus Findlay?
Yep, it's the star.
Jim Raynor has a worse gun now. That's the difference in this game. I mean, they're both Space Marines wearing Space Marine armor. Like, that was the big... I mean, that's the main differentiator, too. There's a reason they put it in there. I mean, it just... To me, it just seems silly. And it's worth noting, too, there's a skeletal character in Heroes as well.
Okay.
And he does not show up in many international markets because of laws they have on the representation of human remains, which think is ridiculous, but that's to each their own. But here's the thing. Blizzard didn't remove him from the game. He's only removed in those markets. So why don't they do the same thing here? I don't understand.
Probably the right call.
I don't understand why they can't do that. Because, there's a reason that there's a different version of Wolfenstein in Germany than in the U.S. And they don't just not release it in Germany. And they don't just take Nazis out of Wolfenstein.
So in that case, do you think that it would be beneficial for them to release a teen-rated version of the game and a mature-rated version of the game to keep that, that market open for everyone?
Here's the other thing. I mean, the silliness. This is a game you can play as Kerrigan, an infested human being.
Yeah.
You can play as you're literally, ripping people apart and blowing them up, and the concern is, a cigar. It really just gets me riled, because there's a fine line between trying to prevent, advertising and encouraging, smoking to kids, and telling kids smoking is not a thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and I kind of understand the Grand Theft Auto thing. And
no,
I suppose...
good person has bad habits, you guys.
Yeah.
That's a great life lesson to teach people.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't... I think we all agree on this one,
right.
And I think it really... It's unfortunate that it sounds like a business decision.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then in the same vein of that, of this, kind of nannying that we have from developers here, we have Twitch saying no to adults-only ratings. They are no longer going to be allowing users to stream adult-only games on their platform at all, and everyone seems to be pretty sure that this is a preemptive measure for the release of Hatred. For those of you who don't know what Hatred is, it is the upcoming mass killing simulator.
Basically,
it's an action game where you murder innocent people. And personally, I find it in very bad taste, and as such, I won't be spending money on it or watching any streams on any other sites.
And that's the right way to go about it.
Funny that. I think this is actually...
Well, some people don't sell them, too. Like, Target's not going to sell them.
Well, Target in Australia.
I thought Target doesn't sell AO games at all.
I don't know, because I have not bought a brick-and-mortar... I don't go to brick-and-mortar games so I really couldn't tell you.
It's what I told you before. First of all, I love how this story is written by Jason Schreier. I don't know. It's not a relative, I guess.
But, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I reached out. I think... now I lost my train of thought. AO, I didn't even know they made games with that rating anymore. I've always felt like it was almost kind of a barrier where they were telling, Grand Theft Auto, we'll give you the AO rating unless you do this.
That is what AO is. It's the same thing as like an X rating or an what's the
R17?
NC-17. Yeah. They have all the different, but here's what it comes down to. All of these rating systems are woefully outdated. They don't just need to be updated. They need to just be gutted and not brought back. It's from an era where, your parents were working all day and drinking all night. I mean, it's from a time. We don't need groups to police video games. Parents should be policing stuff based on content. And for. I do agree that this is a great example of a game that deserves an adults-only rating, but when we see a cigar making Heroes of the Storm mature, that's when, you know, I want to know where the distinction lies. Because seriously, if I describe this game to you, let me just paint a quick picture. This is a game where you play as a character in a trench coat. You start in your house, you pick up various weapons, and you shoot people all over the city. What game am I describing?
I don't know, maybe like
Sonic Adventure.
So here's my question. You know, where is the line drawn, and who is in charge of making that call? Because famously, you know, the MPAA as well, but, you know, ESRB are well known as the people who sit on these councils. They're not game developers. They're not, you know, they're parents.
Yep.
There's a documentary on the video side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I feel like the rating system's messed up. I think you need something because parents aren't going to know.
Parents need to do their own research. That's their responsibility. It's ridiculous. You shouldn't be going to the ESRB to tell you anyways. Because guess what? You know, Zelda for Ocarina of Time was rated teen. And it's got a naked fish girl in it.
What?
And it's got Princess Ruto. And
she's naked?
I'm going back to play that game.
She's also 10 when you're a kid. So, my point being, there is stuff that could be construed as offensive in every single game.
I really think it's the T and the PG-13 rating that they should do away with.
Yeah,
they used to have just PG and R.
I don't agree necessarily with that, though, because then you'd still have to redo the whole rating system, because then kids could literally only play e-games.
Yeah, but I guess it's easier.
The T rating is unnecessary because there's no, they don't check your age for it. That's what the real issue.
Yeah, I just feel like, to your point again with the rating system, I guess I'm not coming off as strong about it, but like PG, and I don't, everyone's a little different of, you know, implication, but PG is saying parental guidance, like check this movie out first and then
But I'm saying there's one extra tier in there for the movies. You've got G, PG, PG-13, and
yeah,
R.
And so maybe you should
all have, you have for games is, and like, then you even have NC-17 on top of that.
Yeah.
For games you have E, teen, mature, and AO.
Yeah, and really maybe you should have like E and then parental guidance.
You know what you should have is no ratings, and parents should do their homework. Their children are going to be affected by games that they play when their parents aren't around.
The concern, though, is that you maybe have a game like Conker's Bad Fur Day, which was hilarious.
No, that's not. The concern is that parents are lazy. Let's be honest. The concern is that parents are not willing to invest the time to find out what their kids are doing. It's the same reason they don't know what TV shows kids are watching.
Yeah.
It's not that Conker has a cute face up front, because literally, watch the title card.
It's so funny.
I don't.
That's enough to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not like you play through that game and then a giant poop boss sings a song to you out of the blue.
Yeah.
The game starts with Conker drunk as heck.
Yes.
I mean, it's not. Seriously, spend 5 minutes. If a kid gets a new game, you don't know what it is. Don't just go to those stupid parental guidance sites where they tell you the number of times that there's nudity and the number of times they mention alcohol and, you know, oh, there's intimate touching in this scene. You know, that kind of stuff is ridiculous. Watch 10 minutes of the game with your kid. Have a when they are done playing and you're like, oh, you know, I want to get those kids off that idiot box, ask them what they were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask them about the game. They would love to tell you what they were doing.
I wanted to say earlier, when, you know, with the restrictions that my parents had on me watching TV and playing games and stuff, if they would have gone out and you know, looked at Assassin's Creed and the games that I was buying at that time, you know, I told them when I turned 17, I'm going to buy whatever game I want. Like, I go through this and I know what I actually am interested in. There are games that are too violent or just too ridiculously violent that I don't care for, like you said, with Hatred.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem
or
as appealing.
Like Manhunt.
Yeah, exactly. And I think different kids grow up with different perspectives. And so if you have one kid who grows up with his parents saying, yeah, go ahead, watch Dexter, go ahead and watch, you know, all these different types of gory films and TV, and then they go and play a game and it's restricting them because there's a little bit of blood spurt here and there.
Exactly.
It's different.
Therein is a double standard, too, because you see can't have a cigar, that's not child appropriate, and your parents are watching Dexter on the TV next to you.
Yep, and they have it right there, you know, for anyone to switch the channel over to. There's no restriction on like, if you're 17, you can't click on the channel. Yeah.
So, back to the actual, like, question, though, you know, Twitch is saying no to adults-only games. What do you guys think about a blanket ban like that?
I don't care, because there's not many of them. If it was M or something like that, I'd say, yeah, you know, maybe you have to look into that more, but yeah, I was going to bring it back this way either. You know, like I said, that what we were having is a very broad discussion that I think has a lot to say. This is pretty simple. Like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you're not missing out on much. I mean, maybe you have a very big Hatred fan, in which case I kind of go, whoa, you know, what's that guy up to? But like, I just don't think this isn't keeping you from watching Grand Theft Auto. No. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think they're going about it a little bit too brash, but it's not a terrible point to put out.
Right. Since 2002, there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 adults-only games.
Okay.
But that's since 2002.
Highlights, highlights of those would be, let's see, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
But
that's the high coffee thing.
Yes, it was originally rated M and was temporarily re-rated adults only following the discovery of the stupid hot coffee nonsense, which if you guys want to know what I think about that and want the full rundown of it, we talked about it in our episode about paid mods.
Yeah.
Also, well-known one, Fahrenheit Indigo Prophecy.
Okay. That was AO?
That's
two games I didn't know
about. That's a very well-known game.
There's an M version, though, right? Or did everyone buy the AO one?
Well, presumably there's an M version because it's available for iPhone now. Okay. So, yeah. But I couldn't say for sure. But then Manhunt 2 and Hatred coming up. And then later this year, we have another one. Eden **++ Mosaic. Okay. And considering it's published by Manga Gamer, it's a Japanese game. I don't need to say anything else. So,
anyways, I mean, you're not going to find a lot of games like that. Indigo Prophecy was the only one I was surprised.
Prophecy is no longer going to be streamable, though. Yeah. What do you think about that? That's and a game again, that I've watched streams not, of.
There's not an M version of that?
Then that brings up another question. How far does it go? If somebody releases a version of Hatred that could be evaluated as M, should then it be
I think you
to
play that
on
one. Yeah.
I think that
how could you clean that up in a way? Yeah, I mean, I guess is the question. But yeah, you're right. I mean,
this is not the same as a cigar.
Opinion, and to be clear, I do support Twitch on this decision. Yeah. I mean, I don't support them insofar as I think that people should be able to put whatever they want on there and make their own decision. But I understand from a business perspective why they're doing it.
Yeah. And like I said, it's going to affect tens of people. I mean, it's not
actually, it's going to affect millions of people because Hatred would have exploded on.
Yeah,
that's the story behind the primary game.
The other thing they're really doing is they're hamstringing Hatred because Hatred is any mobility it can get on YouTube and social media and stuff is going to be the only way it generates sales.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I mean,
it's not going to be on TV.
Yell at me if I'm wrong, but I highly doubt it's going to be a very good game.
In terms
of mechanics.
There are definitely a couple of Twitch streamers that I've watched that I'm excited to see their commentary on the blocking of these AO games.
Yeah.
Because I know at least one of them was featuring that he was going to play Hatred when it came out.
A lot of people were saying that.
Yeah, and so now to have that kind of drop off, I mean, going into the whole restriction thing, I don't want to put the blame on Twitch. I just think that if you're going to have some type of fine line on what should be blocked and what shouldn't, it should also be your responsibility as the distributor to watch those videos at least to a point so that you can check off whether it would be still classified as a mature part of the video. And that, you know, of course goes into a lot of grunt work and stuff that obviously can't just be done at one point. It's going to take a lot of work to do something like that, but It goes both ways. If you want to watch the game, you're going to be able to find it somewhere else. So it's not like it's gone forever. And the fact that they wanted to talk about taking it away from all sales in Australia was crazy.
Yes and no, I'll agree with you. But I would say that what you're selling on Twitch isn't a game. You're selling a personality.
Yeah, the experience.
And so I don't necessarily – like I certainly don't want to play Hatred. But I wouldn't mind seeing some of my favorite personalities just rip it a new one.
Yeah, I mean it'd be funny on Conan, to be honest with you.
Sure, I don't know, but sure.
Have you seen the Conan the bits? It's pretty funny. I mean go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was gonna say watch the Mortal Kombat X Gronkowski.
All right,
and
so,
Marshawn
so,
Lynch.
I'm in.
It's so good where Marshawn's talking about Toad.
for not knowing who those guys really were, like even with all the Super Bowl hype, I really didn't know exactly who they were that well. Watching that just made me appreciate the Super Bowl even more because it was like,
I mean,
I
you might get frustrated.
Play.
He plays him wrong. Like he killed Lara Croft like a hundred times.
This is a slippery slope. Yeah. Let's get out of here and talk about an even slippery slope. The Great Splatoon Caper.
Love the titling on that.
Yeah, so we had a very interesting story out of the UK this week. A truck full of the special edition copies of Splatoon and the limited release amiibos associated with it was robbed en route to some of the game stores. That's the UK version of GameStop, sorry.
Okay.
It was robbed en route, and they are not going to be receiving replacement copies from what I understand.
I blame Grand Theft Auto.
There you go.
This is what it is.
Actually, I blame Nintendo, and let me break this down a little bit, and then we can get into it. So Nintendo introduced the Amiibo. You know, it's their version of the Skylanders figurines and stuff like mm-hmm. that. They are not used for a single game like Skylanders or Disney Infinity. Rather, they're used to unlock minigames, skins, characters, and other games, all kinds of stuff. Cool little side stuff like that. Now, Nintendo has discovered that they're a big seller. And they've also discovered, as we all know from the Wii generation, that the best way to push sales on something is to make limited quantities and then make us fight for it. Well, now they're reaping what they sowed, because as we've seen and what we're hearing, people who pre-ordered from these game stores that this truck was going to are being told you can either cancel your order or you can switch down to the regular version. You cannot get the special edition anymore. They're not planning to send them back out, I guess, which is, you know, very interesting. I guess we're going to be seeing some special edition Splatoon character amiibos on eBay in a week or so.
That are worth a lot of money.
Or there'll become, I saw this on The Know earlier today, they were talking, it'd be so funny to see like an amiibo black market.
Right.
I just think that's hilarious, like some street corner in the middle of a dingy town just has a whole set of Mario.
Hey, you got amiibos?
Yeah.
It's the dark Wii net.
Or a guy with a trench coat opens them up and they're like dangling. What are you buying? Hey, what are you selling?
He's like, quick, I gotta go play Hatred.
So, thanks for blowing out my headphones there,
yeah,
Tom.
The sound levels will be great on that.
All right, so here's the thing. Let's open this up. I want to know what you guys think. First question, do you guys think this was a deliberate target?
Yeah, as in kind of like a conspiracy theory?
Do you think that this was a planned robbery, meaning they knew what was in the truck? Do you think they intended to steal Nintendo games and amiibos because they know the value on these limited production items?
I guess I was kind of hoping that it wasn't for that. It makes a lot of sense given knowing that the special edition ones aren't going to be remade.
Right, because we've seen many runs now of amiibos that are not going to be reproduced.
Yeah, that they literally just make a select few. They're like, here, go fight. Like you said earlier, it's just like I can't think of it. A battle royale situation.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that we are not far from our first amiibo murder.
No, and so I think, you know, being or having that said, boy, I'm flipping all over the place here. I do think it was planned. I think it was probably something that they set out to get those and sell them back off.
I guess the way I think about this, first of all, it'd be hilarious if it wasn't, and then they end up with all these toys.
Yeah. Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Well, even funnier if they throw them away or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, not realizing it's worth more than, like, radios or anything like
yeah.
that. Like,
on the flip side, if they are doing this and this is targeted, I mean, this tells you, you know, I think Nintendo's doing something wrong here, that they're that valuable that someone's going to kind of risk, like, life and limb to do this.
I'd like to think that this is, like, some enterprising GTA Online players who have been doing enough heist missions. They've learned how to, like, scope out. You know, they've got the whole truck route down, and they know, you know, they wait for it to go under a bridge to hit it and get out as fast as they can.
They got bored with the anticlimactic endings to most of the heists on GTA, and they're like, I can probably do this better myself.
Yeah, there you go.
There would be a great Chappelle show on this. If you remember him doing GTA, oh my god. But yeah, I mean either way, it's not a good story, right? I mean either way, even if it's a robbery,
I don't know, I think it's a great story. I find it fascinating.
I mean either way, it doesn't look good for Nintendo, right?
Yeah. Right, especially because this is their typical corporate obstinance, where they're, as far as we know, they're not going to be replacing them, and the question is, why not? You can make infinity of these.
No, you have all the rights. No, and the thing is, too, it's like, it's, I mean, I don't want to say Nintendo's promoting crime, but at least
they're provoking people into it.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I don't think it helps them, because the secondary market, they don't make money on that, right? I mean, it's not as though if you go on eBay, it's
no,
not,
they don't.
Yeah.
And so, well, and that's why a lot of this stuff, there is no secondary market. Nintendo's very good about trying to prevent resale with a lot of these.
This is just
seeming
kind of
figurines
like
and
big
stuff.
Like weird kind of corporate Big Brother.
Well, you know what? You know what it is? Is it brings to mind a Minnesota classic, actually a KQRS classic, Jingle All the Way.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna have people fighting over Power Man amiibos in no time.
The other crazy thing about this is I'm looking at the comments on the Kotaku story, and I see the first thing up is like one guy goes, "Wait until these guys, you know, go up for sale." And it's the Yoshi amiibos. And the sad thing about it, even though I'm like, I'd like to think kind of intelligent person, I'm going, I want that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
bad.
To be clear, I don't even have a Wii U. And
no, exactly.
I really would like to have some just for my shelf because they're nice figurines. And that's something that I want to point out. When we were talking about, you know, the Disney Infinity stuff a week ago, mm-hmm. I hate the build quality on the Disney Infinity figurines and also on the Skylanders figurines. They're so much better on the amiibos.
Yes, and again, that's just kind of a Nintendo quality standard, is they really do a good job of making what they have solid. Yes, and very open to the player, to the gamer. I'm excited to see what it's going to be like when LEGO Dimensions comes out, because I know that they're not going to make that same decision to not make a 1,000 of each of those characters. You know,
I'm not looking forward
millions.
To it.
I think it won't be the greatest playable game. I just think that those characters
is gonna be
done right in the sense that they're not gonna make a limited supply. That's too much to think about.
Can I just ask? I'm curious because I've been dying for this since I was a child. Where is my Yu-Gi-Oh! Video game?
Yeah,
I want a trading card game with physical cards that when I scan it on an e-reader, it summons a three-dimensional representation of a monster.
Is Yu-Gi-Oh! Still in business?
Oh, yeah. I think they're still
making games. I don't know if the show is still... it's in syndication, but I don't know if they're still writing
the
it.
The show is still going. I believe that they actually have a new season this year.
Wow. Is it like a spin-off or is it a new season?
Now, again, you can send your corrections to me at the station here.
Our resident anime professional who says everything he says is correct.
Yes.
So be sure that you write in if you disagree with
him. It is the word of Ben. And I
the
do,
word of Ben.
And now I forgot where I was. But
Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
But yeah, I do think it's a new storyline just kind of branching off. But, you know, I guess if they've got the writing for it still, I'm happy. I loved it as the TV show as a kid, and I agree with you. I was always looking for something physically with it.
This would be like Pokemon Stadium, right? Except
It would be like Pokemon Stadium. I mean, it would be like any kind of battle game. To me, Hearthstone is a good, a half-okay comparison.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and I kind of understand this, the issue of you can't resell the cards and stuff, and like, do they want to make it so you can play it without the game? Because then there's potential loss. Like, there are definitely complications there. But I know that Japan has, they have arcade cabinets that work similarly.
That's how the show was, right? You had the card that's sat there.
But what it is you feed cards in, and you can actually win more cards from doing well and stuff. That's so cool to me.
Yeah, and I think, again, going to the, you know, as this goes mainstream and on television and stuff, that's not a terrible idea to bring people together to say, hey, you know, you have your stuff stored in this little wool thing, and you can win more of them, you know, or whatever. And I don't know why they don't release, like, you know, a first edition and a special edition and stuff, instead of having this limited amount of the kind of the same thing where people may be, you know, contemplating heists to steal them out of a truck.
They should turn it into, in my opinion, as much as I don't want it to become another microtransaction DLC, you know.
No, finagle.
I think that might be a good option, though, for some of these special editions, to, like, reissue them back out.
I hear what you're saying, although I just want to... I mean, the whole reason for the amiibos is to not be that.
It's to stray away, yeah. And I think Nintendo's doing that right.
Beyond just DLC, especially because Nintendo charges a lot for their DLC generally. So,
and I just want to jump in with you saying Pokemon Stadium earlier. I forgot that game existed.
It's so great.
And they need to reboot Pokemon
Stadium. Absolutely.
Are you sure they're not making them anymore? I don't know myself.
I don't know
either. Or some kind of spinoff or similar one?
They may have done something for, like, 3DS platforms and things like that. I have no clue. But just, like, going back to the N64 format, having something updated with that and even throwing amiibos in for Pokemon, that is something I would get on. I still have a Pikachu in my car from when I was, like, 16, and I got it in a kid's meal or something
I might have the same thing.
And that's just
not
the
anymore,
thing. It's the collectible... aesthetic about it that I think more people get behind than actually playing the game with it.
Absolutely. And so I would love to see these the Amiibo, the Skylanders, the Disney Infinity stuff. I want to see where it goes. And I'll be honest, I know you're excited, but I'm not looking to Lego to be the trendsetter on this one. I got a bad feeling about a game built on your imagination and customization locking your tools behind a paywall.
It definitely won't be like a trailblazer. I just am excited to see the way that they take it.
Sure.
Just because after the Lego movie happened, I was really excited to see like Batman getting into a different universe.
Sure.
and having
if
that.
If they do the graphics they did from, I mean, it doesn't have to be the quality, but if they do the same stuff with like still blocks making up moving water and stuff like that, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
And if they have, you know, the fire flickering, just the, it's in the torch, it's not in the torch, it's in the torch, I'm in.
It would definitely be a different standard from their other Lego games, but it would be a kind of a better step forward.
I've played
all of the other Lego games and loved them. But
it's reminiscent to me a little bit, actually, from what I've seen, kind of a combination of like Lego Creator and Lego Island.
Yeah, yep, okay.
Which, if you like Lego games at all, Lego Island is the one.
I enjoyed playing Lego Creator
a little
bit. I think
I might have played that.
It's
is
so
that old?
Good. It's the one that has, I believe it's like magical, you have, it's like the magical brick.
Is this an old game?
Yeah, it's an old game.
I played that a long time.
You have to build like helicopters and ships and boats, and you got a skateboard. It's sweet.
Wow.
I love that game.
I don't think I ever got to skateboard, but
so
I definitely
skateboard.
Really?
Cool.
Okay, then maybe I didn't play that one. Maybe it
that
was
is right.
just the Lego Creator.
This is coming back to me. That was a long time ago, but
yeah. Anyways, you know, so I think that there's a lot of potential for cool stuff with these physical figurines, but I do think that we're going to see stuff like this when you get people frothing at the mouth for a product and then you tell them they can't have it. People are going to
I want a Yoshi
it.
Amiibo, and this is stupid. Like, I'm telling myself, don't want this.
Right.
But I want it.
You know, I'm no business major, so maybe the long-term, you know, marketing and word of mouth and stuff that comes from scarcity is really helping them, but they need to at least double the runs, because it just seems like there. I know so many people who are like, they are on top of every release, and they are clicking on the buy button right up until it is available to buy.
It's Black
and
Friday,
it's
basically, like virtual.
Yeah,
Black
every
Friday,
single one is a Black Friday rush, and it's just crazy to me. Although that said, I'm not. I don't actually have you know, myself. I'm not that much of a collector, so I can't quite identify with that fanaticism for it. But I get it. I get the collection instinct, especially in gamers.
Yeah, and it's at the end of the day, again, you're getting like casual gamers, and I don't think I'm a casual gamer, but I'm someone who doesn't own a Wii and doesn't own like any of the Nintendo stuff.
I mean, casuals are being lured by Amiibos.
I feel like it's something you'd want to own.
Yeah,
because
I feel
the
like
thing
it
is, like, an Amiibo is useless without a game.
No, but I feel like it'd be sweet to have like, Wool Yoshi on my shelf.
Okay, yeah,
you know what I mean,
no, yeah, that's totally, just, yeah, no,
yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah. And so I think – and that's the weird thing is that then you're going to have like fights between people who like need it for their game and people who are just –
Who just
well,
wanted
you know,
to have it.
I have
yeah.
a feeling we'll see it's going to be the Beanie Babies war all over again.
Oh,
I
yeah.
want to play with it. Keep the tags on or it loses all
yes,
its value.
Yes,
I
yes.
actually just went to a garage sale today and they had a whole bin full of ones still in the – like McDonald's plastic, but then at the very bottom there were ones in like the special edition plastic cases, like the 1980s Germany.
And it's
bear.
Worth something?
It's no,
I'm,
it's
I'm
box
sure it's not
labeled
worth
waited too long.
Yeah, but it's literally just like the coolest thing to see it
yeah.
there, and it's like, okay, well, hopefully that's not what happens with the Amiibos, that they just collect dust. Hopefully they get some use.
Yeah.
But you're definitely going to see the Why people that, more? That want it. Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, if they don't release more for special edition ones, they need to beef up their security at the least, because the fact that a truck carrying Amiibos for a video game is a heist story in
well,
the UK is something
to
that...
To be fair, I think the fact that you need any level of security for a truck carrying
for a toy.
Children's
is pretty
video
crazy.
Games.
Yeah, but I think looking at making more, which Nintendo seriously just doesn't seem like
right.
they want to do that.
Sure.
That makes like a, makes sense to me of something that Nintendo would do is
yeah.
just get like armored trucks to carry.
So
these
hey, we can
around.
Make money if we make more of these, or we can get security.
Yep.
I mean, that's ridiculous. But I suppose they probably know better than we do.
Right. And I think that's about it for today. You guys got anything else you want to throw in?
No, that's sad. I want a Yoshi Amiibo. So.
All right. Well, this has been the 105 The Ticket Video Game.